Welcome back, friends. You are listening to The Struggle Well Project, the podcast that helps you love your actual life so you don't have to run away from home. We believe here that perfection is nonsense and peace is a perspective shift away. I've been having a lot of perspective shifts lately. Since working, there is not a whole lot of time to actually have cohesive thoughts, I don't think. I do a lot of thinking in the drive to and from work. But wow, my life looks so much different. I'm still honestly trying to sort that out. So I don't have anything really amazing to say except, I don't have anything amazing to say. Oh, man. But this week, I'm excited to share with you my guest, Dr. Barbara. She has a lot of insights because she's a therapist, but also she's a stepmom. She mentions that she had a divorce that she did not want. She mentions that she is the mom of a child with special needs that you can see, but then the mom of a child with special needs that you can't see, and how it is different to parent both those children because people don't understand when your child has what she calls an invisible disability. So she's put up with a bunch of judgment from other moms. Anyway, it's just a really good talk that I think we can all take something away from. So let's go ahead and get started. Hi, Dr. Barbara. How are you today?
I am so excited to be here, Emily.
Yes. Well, I'm really excited to talk to you. Would you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself, though, before we get started?
Yes. Well, first of all, I'm a mom and a wife and a stepmom. So that means so much to me. I always wanted to be a mom. I'm also a psychologist and a life coach and author, speaker, and all that good stuff. I love helping women move from where's the life I dreamed of to, woo, here's the life I dreamed of.
Okay. I love that. I have a question, though, about life coach. Do you ever, on the Enneagram, I'm a one. And so being a perfectionist, I think I could never be a life coach because I don't even know what I'm doing. I haven't got it quite right yet, which obviously nobody does. But I think, so when people say they're a life coach, I feel like, well, how do you get to the point where you feel like you could help us figure out what's happening?
You know, it's so funny because the more I've moved into my professional career, the more I strive to be average. I used to strive to be fantastic, great. And after a while, I was like, I don't like that pressure. And then another thing that's happened is I've raised children. Mm-hmm. So it's like I've been demoted in my own head. And so so now I strive to be average with streaks of greatness. And the wonderful thing about that is the pressure is off. I don't even try to be an imposter because this is just it. And I love the phrase that I've coined, which is flawed is the new fabulous. You know, we're all flawed, we're all fabulous, and we're all this mixture.
Yeah.
So within that, we can pursue growth while still embracing real radical acceptance.
Okay, talk to me about that process. How did you weren't always that way is what you're saying, but you became.
Yeah, so what's interesting is, so I grew up in a real difficult family with there was a lot of abuse and dysfunction, and got out of there right after high school. But I almost failed high school because of all the challenges. And wow. I went there to becoming a Christian and to really pursuing the good life, but I went from that to getting straight A's in college and being valedictorian. So that perfectionism just kicked right in. And then over time, I've had to loosen up. Well, you know what? I have a funny mom story I can share about this.
Yes, do it.
Yeah, this is a good one. So at this time, I think I was still finishing up graduate school. I had gone to undergrad, had some kids. Then I actually went through an unwanted divorce, went back to graduate school and remarried and had 5 kids in the house. So there was a lot going on.
Wow.
And yeah, and I was digging deep, girl. I was digging deep here. And I always just wanted to be a mother, very dedicated to be a mother, especially since I didn't receive the mothering that I wanted. And that was a big wound in my life that I've had to work on. So really striving to be this great mom, working to be this great psychologist in graduate school. And I find out that one of my kids has been nominated as a kid to watch. And there's this full page ad in this local magazine of our kid. And I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, I didn't even know this was happening.
Why are they watching him? He's just amazing.
Yeah, sports and grades and taking care of his special needs sister. My stepdaughter has Down syndrome. And so this child to watch. And I was like, wow, that's our kid. I'm so proud. And at the same day, I got a phone call, the same day, literally, got a phone call from the school. Hello, is Mrs. Lowe there? This is her. Yes, I'm that mom. Then I was notified that one of my other kids had been drawing penises. Yes, penises. Mm-hmm. In the bathroom, all over the bathroom, and calling out penis in school, and was going to get suspended from school. So that afternoon, I put on the backdrop of my Facebook, world's okayest mom, girl, you know, girl. Because it's just these kids raised in the same house. You know, you have one who's this kid to watch and another one who's getting suspended. Same mom. So
that is so helpful to just keep in mind. I was on a field trip with my daughter recently, and if anybody's going to get in trouble, it's her. She has a way that she wants to do things, and it isn't always the way society says to do things, which is great. She marches to her own beat. Sometimes she lights the drum on fire. There's just a lot of, she does her own deal. Well, I'm on a field trip with her, and the guidance counselor calls, and I was like, "Why? How can she be calling about my daughter? I'm looking at my daughter." It was because my son was blackmailing kids in the first grade for fire Cheetos.
Yes.
So sweet.
Anyway. Yes, I've caught my kids doing all kinds of stuff. My husband and I are both entrepreneurs, and so my kids really get it, honestly, this entrepreneur bug. And so I've caught them getting me. I mean, they're really smart, getting me to buy them candy and then them taking it to school, bagging it up with my baggies, you know, like pot or something, right? Here's a dime bag of Skittles, right? Selling it. So yeah.
Oh man, they are so funny.
They are a humbling factor. And frankly, I'm so glad that I got my PhD in psychology and became a psychologist after I was a mom, because the pressure was off. Like I have kids, you know, some kids with special needs. And there was at one point where I was in the school so much, I was working and I was in school. So I had a graduate assistantship. So I was working a little bit. And I was busy. They thought I was a stay-at-home mom. And so they were mad at me when I didn't volunteer for something. I'm like, look, I'm a grad student. They're like, what? Because I was in that school so much helping my kiddo. Wow. Anyway, so I think my kids really helped me to understand that I don't have to be perfect, because they're their own people. And even having kids with special needs, like one of my kids is on the autism spectrum and had a lot of behavioral stuff. And working with his disability was interesting, because he had an invisible disability, because he looks completely normal, but he wouldn't act it out a lot. And I just had to learn to humble myself and allow that there was might be some judgment of me, and just be the best mom I knew how to be for him. And that was, God worked in my life through that.
I want to take a minute and tell you about one of my favorite subscriptions that I have, PrepDish. So my friend Allison will email you weekly menus that are very healthy, real food menus. They have gluten-free and paleo options. In this weekly email, you get a PDF that has the grocery list, and then you spend 2 to 3 hours prepping a week's worth of meals. And then on the night that you're going to make each meal, all you have to do is heat it up and enjoy it. PrepDish makes my life so much simpler. I don't have to think about what to make. I don't have to be stressed out about it. And my kids love knowing what's for dinner. You know that I have been super busy going back to work full time, but this week I still did manage to make some of the PrepDish meals. There was a tropical green smoothie that I loved, and we had some beef tacos this week that were excellent. So Allison is going to give any of you who want to try it, who haven't tried PrepDish yet, a 2-week free trial. So to get 2 weeks free, to give PrepDish a shot, go to prepdish.com/SWP. That's prepdish.com/SWP for 2 weeks free. Can you talk to me, though, for a mom who does have a child with, you know, what you're calling, I love that, an invisible disability that you can't even tell? What helped you in the process of that? Because I feel like, and I hear from moms, it's a really lonely thing. Yeah, because nobody understands, and they don't even understand exactly why you're extra stressed out or why you feel like you're just being really negative about this kid, or do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So I think I mentioned earlier that I raised a child with Down syndrome and then a child on the autism spectrum, more of an invisible disability. And I directly saw the difference in how people treated, they see Down syndrome. And so their expectations are different versus autism spectrum that they don't see, and the frustration that they could show towards my son. And I felt that personally, that was hard. One of the things that I did as a mom that helped a lot, maybe not with the loneliness, but with helping people to, maybe indirectly with the loneliness, and helping people to understand, was I created a storybook for my son when he was in elementary school with pictures, and it was like the story of my life. And it said, you know, my name is so-and-so, and my parents thought I was the cutest thing and the best thing since sliced bread when I was born. Look how cute I am. And then had pictures of him growing up. And then over time, or at a certain point in the story, we put, my parents noticed that I did some things like flap my hands and had a hard time with eye contact and got really, really interested in certain topics and couldn't talk about other topics. And then we talked about the diagnosis in there, and we talked about his strengths and weaknesses. And then we went back to, but I can do this and this and this. And when I grow up, I want to be this. And and so, you know, I'm a big believer in thinking about how you're narrating your life, thinking about the stories you're making up about yourself, because in a way, we're kind of self-hypnosing all the time.
Interesting.
Indoctrinating ourselves with a certain story. And so that gave him a story, but it also gave other people a way of understanding. And I asked him if he would like to share it with his class. And he said that that would be fine if I came in and read it. And we did that. And that was helpful in having other people understand him and probably inadvertently understanding some of what I was going through.
That's really good. I love that. Talk to me about the self-hypnotizing. I mean, I believe that. Like, I know Brené Brown talks about the story I'm telling myself is. So talk to me more about that.
Well, I don't have other than like just a little bit of training in hypnosis. But you think about how what we tell ourselves all the time is shaping our neural pathways. Mm. I was just reading some research yesterday on when we access memories from our past, it's actually coming up in a way that it's creating new, let's call it like new juice in that memory. And so the story we're putting on it, we're actually laying almost like new bricks on that memory all the time to build a story about our life. And so we need to be really careful about the story we're telling ourselves. I've created a method for helping people heal from difficult childhoods, because I truly believe we don't need to be reliving that for the rest of our lives.
Okay, so you have a different approach than a lot of counselors.
Yeah.
Well, or maybe it's not different. I don't know. That I guess I feel like a lot of counselors, you spend a lot of time in your childhood.
Well, I do spend time in childhood, but not forever. I really, really believe in moving on and recovering and living in a new way. And one of the things you can do is one of the pieces I have is narrate your story in this Hearts Returning Home method. And you look through your story and you look at the stories you've been telling yourself throughout your story. And you look at where you need to change those. And you begin to meditate in a new way. I also have steps that are called satisfying unmet needs, where you really do. I think I just told you, I just tried to explain somewhat that when we access new memories, they're somewhat malleable. Not that we want to change what we remember happening or that that would happen, but we can lay a different felt sense upon it by giving ourselves a different experience when we access that memory.
Yes.
Like if someone's a Christian, we can add in what would happen if we brought Jesus into that, or what would happen if we brought in the mom that you are to your kids or your most ideal mom self into that story? How would that be different? And so we can actually work to meet those needs. And then there's another piece I do that's called time reversing trauma, where we literally discharge what hasn't been discharged from traumas and move on from them.
Is it like EMDR?
I am trained in EMDR. It has some similarities in that with EMDR, you're going back into the past with a different resource, two resources really, the eye movement as a part of discharge and the presence of the therapist, and you're reworking those. So I think all things that work have some similarities. And so it does have some overlap.
That's really great. So you mentioned that the reason you got into all of this is because there was just some places you weren't nurtured when you were little.
Yes, yes. I had this hurt in my life, this longing for mother love, really. I remember going to hug my mom as a young adult, and I remember her cringing as I went to hug her. And wow. I think I felt that. I know I did. I felt that a lot in my childhood. Just she didn't know how to attach to me. You know, really both my parents grew up in alcoholic homes, and they themselves were one alcoholic and an addict, and really just so many different attachment wounds. There was domestic violence, there was physical violence and abuse, there was emotional abuse. And God has done a tremendous work of healing in my life that I can continue to move forward. And my whole life is about helping other people heal now. It's so amazing. You know, I'm a firm believer in being like the phoenix, where the phoenix basically gets burnt out. You know, he goes out and he mm-hmm. goes down in smoke and fire and combustion, and you know, it's a real death. It's not like by faith I'm touching this death and then I'm not there. It's really like this blowing up. Mm-hmm. But through that, he gets his energy from the sun, the S-U-N, or she gets her energy from the S-U-N, and then rises again. Well, I think we can get our energy from the S-O-N and rise mm-hmm. again. And I love the story, this metaphor of the phoenix, which goes all the way back into ancient cultures, including Israeli culture. And that is that when anyone would touch the tears of the phoenix, they heal. And the phoenix's talons are strong enough to pick up elephants. So it's actually through that death and then subsequent resurrection that we are actually stronger and bring healing to others.
So we don't have to feel disqualified, which is what I think so many people do.
Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, I think our flaws qualify us more. And, you know, we're in the age of authenticity. So I think there's been a lot of looking at imposter syndrome lately, and where do I have imposter syndrome? And the truth is, we are all drawn to the podcasts and the Instagram feeds. I mean, we do like beauty, but as far as people, we love people who are letting it all hang out there. It's Brené Brown, right? It's braving it. It's being vulnerable. I think we need to not compare our insides to other people's outsides, especially as moms.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. So, okay, I have a question for a mom, and I hear from a lot of listeners who would love, they see their broken places. They would like to get healing. They're doing all the things, but maybe they don't feel like they're making any progress. So for somebody who doesn't live close enough to you to like go see you and get healing from some of these mom wounds and just in general, the hard places, what would you suggest?
So they can follow me at drbarbaralowe.com, and there I have vlogs and blogs and podcasts and some free ebooks. Of course, I have an ebook on self-care and also on the dark side of motherhood. I myself have been through a infertility and raising kids with disabilities, and also I had a stillborn. So talking about help around those issues. And I am about to launch in 2019 the Hearts Returning Home course, and I am working on the Hearts Returning Home book at the same time. So those are both in production, and the course will be coming out before the book so people could get on my list.
And it's all online?
All online.
Love it. So with all the winter blues coming to an end, it's finally time to get back into a routine that empowers you to feel your healthiest. Care of has a fun online quiz that asks you about your diet, your health goals, your lifestyle choices. It only takes about 5 minutes to find out your personal, scientifically backed vitamin and supplement recommendations. It can be really hard to know which vitamins or supplements you should be taking, but Care of makes it easy to find out what you specifically need to be your healthiest. and your personalized Care of subscription box gets sent right to your door every month with personalized daily packs, great for busy on-the-go lifestyles like we have. My favorite part is that a portion of every sale goes towards a foundation that provides expectant mothers who don't have the finances to buy prenatal vitamins. It gives them prenatal vitamins. I really like Care of vitamins, and it makes taking vitamins actually happen in my house. So I love Care of. So for 50% off of your first month of personalized Care of vitamins, go to takecareof.com and enter SWP50. So again, 50% off of your first month of personalized Care of vitamins. Go to takecareof.com and enter coupon code SWP50. So regarding the dark side of motherhood, I think that is something that I love it because it's so real and genuine. So talk to me about how you've experienced that. Well, and also your kids have grown up and you were talking about how there's some drug abuse and there's some really hard stuff going on with your oldest kiddo right now. And although we hope that wouldn't be something that would be part of our stories, it is part of your story and you're not having a choice but to walk through it. So talk to a mom, because certainly we all have maybe kiddos that are harder for us or kiddos that we think they could be heading that direction. So talk about that experience and help us out, please. Yeah.
Well, one thing I've done as a mom that I would recommend is I've made myself the go-to person for my kids about information about drugs and sex from an early age, so that it would keep the communication open about those tough subjects later on. And I am grateful because my son, who we were talking about earlier, has gotten into some drugs and fallen in with some people that have influenced him in a not so good way. And we are going to have him move out, and I'm having to set some difficult boundaries. But at the same time, we are communicating, and he is, I mean, there's some dishonesty, but we're still communicating. And through it, I'm connecting with him. We have plans to go to lunch this week, and I'm still trying to stay that soft place for him. And I'm so grateful that the Lord has taught me about boundaries and codependency and how to set limits and basically detach with love in a healthy way so that I could be there for him and listen to him. And
so what does that tell me about detaching with love? Because I feel like when lying happens and all those bad choices, I'm good at detaching, but not with love.
Right. Yeah. So it's holding to the boundaries, but staying in touch with the soft side. It's okay. I think I have a good way of explaining this. So feelings are never wrong. Anger, sadness, any feeling, mad, sad, it's not wrong. It just is. And so in the middle of whatever's going on with our children and also, you know, our partners, validating those feelings, I hear you. That must feel terrible. Like, I've been confronting him some on text saying, actually, he just told me, Mom, you're telling me you love me and that you're hurting over the choices I'm making. And he said, it makes my life feel like, let's just say, poop. And so, you know, I'm saying, I love you. I want to help you. How can I help? And I think you're making some bad choices. But instead of saying, what do you mean? I'm saying the right things. I said, oh, I didn't know that I was making you feel that way. I'm so sorry that you're feeling that way. At the same time, I'm telling him he needs to move out because of the choices he's making. And we set out some, you have to make curfew and you have to do this and this. And it was just a few basic things. And he's broken curfew 4 times, which I told him it would be 3 strikes, you're out. And he's come home high. And so, but at the same time, I'm saying, I love you. Let's have lunch. And I've given him parameters under which he can move back home. And I'm trying to help him find the soft place to move to during this time.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that helps, but that's the way I do it.
Does any part of you feel like you are why this is happening? I like to blame myself for everything.
None of us come through life unscathed. And we all have, even if Jesus raised us, I think we'd have perceptions of abandonment because he was out there helping all those people, right? I mean, possibly. So I know I'm not perfect. I know that other people in my life have made choices. I think I mentioned I've gone through an unwanted divorce, and I don't have control over that. And I know that I was checked out more than what I wanted to be when I was grieving that, and when my mom died, for that matter. You know, so I know I'm not perfect. And I used to think that if I served the Lord, life would be great. And now I think I need the Lord, and so I serve him.
Yeah.
And my kids need the Lord. And I think we all need that soft landing of forgiveness. And I'm okay. And I'm on my way. And I'm flawed and fabulous. And then when I'm not trying to be perfect, and my son says, "Mom, you are hurting me when you send me these texts," I can soften and say, "Oh, I didn't realize it was impacting you that way." Mm-hmm. Because I'm not hung up on being perfect.
Yeah. That's good. Talk to me about grief and motherhood and a healthy way to do that. Like with your son, your kids aren't making the choices that you hoped. They aren't kind of turning into the kids that you had dreamed of. Like, our dreams aren't bad. And it's also not bad when our kids aren't the way that we thought they would be. But sometimes we hold on to it without realizing that we had expectations that they aren't meeting, which are not fair to them. They shouldn't have to meet them. Or, like you said, having a stillborn kiddo, or having an adoption that, you know, disrupts, or there's just lots of grief in motherhood. And I think maybe you could help us understand the healthiest way to handle that.
Yes, I feel that for all those mothers out there. I am looking at my kids at almost 17 and almost 19, basically leaving the nest. And I still have this sense of longing for what I wanted to experience in motherhood. But at the same time, I have a deep acceptance of where I'm at in life. And that one of the things that has helped me tremendously is knowing that whatever I go through and I give to the Lord, he can make into a beautiful place, and he can make it into rivers of living water that flow out of me. Just recently, I was talking at a MOPS group about, they wanted me to talk about the dark side of motherhood. And it was during the National Remembrance of, I forget what the day is called, but it's infertility and lost children, or infant mortality. And so I talked about losing I had a full-term stillborn named Michael. And at the same time I was talking, Emily, you're not going to believe this, but this Hurricane Michael was coming through.
Oh, wow.
Literally right outside. And here's what the Lord spoke to me. I looked up that scripture that talks about rivers of living water, and what the word rivers means, it can mean torrent. And what the Lord said to me is, there's a torrent going on outside, and its name is Michael. And what's going on in you is a torrent of living water is flowing out of you, where you have given your losses in motherhood to me.
Wow.
Your losses in life and your losses in motherhood. I am making a torrent of living water come out of you. So that, and the other piece is that I believe, I'm trusting the Lord to give me double for my trouble. I love how Joyce Meyer talks about that.
That's awesome.
Yes. And so I'm saying, Lord, I'm trusting you to give it back to me. And I'm making sure that I'm going out there and I'm serving other people, and I'm not living out of my loss or my pain. I'm looking for the goodness in the day, and I'm looking for how I can serve others. And trust me, my friend, that comes back to us. It really does.
That reminds me, I was looking just before we started talking, and I knew like what was going on with your son, and I was doing a workout with my friend Elisa Keaton, and she talked about in the workout Psalm 126:6 that those who go out weeping carrying seed to sow will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. And I think we can go out weeping, but sometimes we forget to carry seeds with us, like you're talking about serving and being about serving God's people and building up the people around you. You can do that while you're weeping. Like, I think of Lisa Turkhurst, who has such an amazing ministry, and for ages nobody knew that her husband was cheating on her and she was going through a divorce, like, but still going out while weeping and sowing seeds.
Yes.
I don't know. Yes. I just think we feel like our stories being broken disqualify us, but like you're saying, that gives us kind of, first of all, the credibility, but also the empathy We can lead with a limp, as somebody wisely said.
Absolutely.
That's so good. Okay, so in the process of this really hard time that you're going through with your son and his choices and asking him to move out, you said that last night your friends threw you a surprise party.
Yes!
That to me is such a beautiful picture of the importance of community. So talk to me about that.
Yes, yes. So we lead a life group at our house, or it's kind of like a Bible study, but it's very authentic. It's very transparent. It's very, this is what I'm dealing with, and this is what God is saying and speaking to me. Very worshipful. And so we were all sharing different things that God was doing in our lives. And I began to share what was going on with my son, and that I was going to have to ask him to move out in the morning. And right in the middle of me talking, they all, you're not going to believe this. I mean, this was astounding. They all put on pearl necklaces, and they all began to sing happy birthday and say, "You are the pearl of great price."
And oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then they had these cupcakes with pearls on them, and they gave me a pearl necklace, like a real pearl necklace.
Oh my goodness.
It was amazing. God's goodness in the middle of all that, because on my birthday, my son was broke curfew and got high. Right. And so it's like all that was coming to a head. And so my birthday wasn't very happy. And God is so good. And you know what else is really great is that I just sat there and received it rather than do that adult thing of, oh, no, you shouldn't have. I was like, oh, it's my birthday party.
Receiving is hard, but it feels so good when you let yourself just relax into it.
It was so good. And trust me, I needed it, because I had that talk with my son this morning, and that just filled me. So God filled me, and he told me, "You're the pearl of great price." It filled me, and I so appreciate God's goodness. That reminds me of another story that is on my heart to share, if you don't mind.
Of course.
This is not my story. It's a good friend of mine. She and her husband are powerful ministers, and they speak, and she's actually a TEDx speaker. They went through infertility, and she talks about this in her TEDx, Lynette Lewis. And they went through infertility. They wanted children. Meanwhile, the Lord had promised her a set of twin girls. She had, I think, a miscarriage, and it wasn't happening. And at the same time, her beloved stepson, whom she helped raise, got cancer. And he was this phenomenal kid who was out there doing missions. His name was Jordan Lewis. And he ended up dying of brain cancer, even though they had prayed and prayed and prayed. But at the same time, right before he died, those twin girls came to her. And it was through a miraculous event. She had shared with some friends, "I feel like God's going to give me twin girls." And they said, "You know what? We're going to throw you a by faith baby shower."
Whoa.
Yeah. And so they threw a by faith baby shower. And I believe it was through that shower, one of those friends ended up finding out about these twin girls who came up for adoption. And these girls are gorgeous. And she shows the girls on the TED Talk. And so I think all these stories share the dichotomy of motherhood, that there's so much goodness and there's so much hardness that are together all at the same time. And we need to just be with it all. And in the middle of all that, we need community and connection with God. And we need to let ourselves off the perfectionistic hook and just be with it all.
Yeah, it's so good. I've been thinking so much lately about it as being kind of like a double exposure, like a picture that's a picture on top of a picture.
Yeah,
because I look at something, and like if I'm struggling with a child, then I think, no, the situation is bad, so I am bad, but I'm not bad, or I'm failed or whatever. But to look at the situation and hold it at the same time with, I'm doing the best I can. I don't know. It's been a completely different shift, but so helpful for me.
Yes. And you know, your strong-willed girl is going to change the world, as strong-willed girls do. I mean, I think you might be a strong-willed girl. I know I am a strong-willed girl, and we're out there rocking the world, and so will your daughter, I believe.
Thank you. I agree with that. I definitely am having some perspective shifts on how, hold it, we don't have to be against each other.
That's right.
Yeah, it's good. Right. I'm learning a lot from her. So, okay. So I would like to finish this up by doing a lightning round where I ask you a bunch of questions real quick and you don't have any way to prepare for them.
Fun.
How do you feel about that?
I'm good with it.
Great. Okay. Number one, what would you name a boat if you had one?
What comes to mind is the pink unicorn.
Do you love pink?
I do love pink. I'm not sure. I think unicorns might be too overdone. So, oh, wait a minute. No, the pink dolphin.
Okay. Yeah,
I like dolphins. The pink dolphin.
Love it. Okay. What was the worst commercial that you've seen lately and why was it so bad?
There's this commercial about banking where there's a woman who is in your face, and I'm not sure why they would do that. I mean, I'm a psychologist. I know about personal space. It's way overdone, and no one really likes to think about banking anyway. So I think that's very odd.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. I love it. I haven't seen that one. Okay. What is the most useless thing that you know how to do?
Well, I know how to drive a manual car. I think that's useful. I'm actually quite proud of that, especially since my driver's ed teacher told me, Barbara, I don't think you'll ever be able to drive a stick car because I was so bad at it.
That is such a mean thing for a teacher to say.
Let's see. Okay. The most useless thing I know how to do is put extra butter, cheese, and brown sugar in anything I'm cooking.
I love it. I feel like that's useful. I do. Okay. What is the most irritating food out there?
Okay. The most irritating food out there is food that looks so good and they put the calorie count on it next to it. What the heck?
Yeah.
Like, yes, put the calorie count next to the salad, but not the cheesecake. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
That's true. I feel like the most irritating food is like salad where the pieces are too big. I love a chopped salad.
Yes.
Uniformity is really like helps me be calm. And so when there's big pieces of things, it throws me right off. I can't.
Okay. So I was at a Japanese restaurant yesterday and they don't serve forks, just chopsticks. And then they served me salad with a big lettuce pieces. That was awkward. And then they served me rice with, which is like really little pieces. So that was very awkward.
And they wouldn't give you like, did you ask for a fork or did you just like power through it?
I powered through.
Yeah. Before we moved to China, we practiced like picking up M&Ms a lot. But my hands hurt so bad and my clothes were covered in food for the first like 6 months.
But M&Ms is a great reward, right?
Well, yeah. Once you finally get it.
Yeah. Every time you get it in your mouth, you get a great reward.
It's true. They're slippery though. Okay, so finally, what is something you can't stop talking about these days?
I got this pink furry coat from Target that it's that powder pink that's in style right now. Yeah. And I love it. It feels like being wrapped up in a blanket / stuffed animal. It is so great. Nice.
Is it for like wearing out or like, is it like a robe?
Well, it's the kind of thing that you would buy for your little girl as a coat, but maybe not your adult self. But I decided to buy it for my adult self because you know how you can get away with like the upper bling and the upper like cutesy for your kids, but not let your adult self. I was like, you know what? I'm getting this. I want to feel like this. And so recently I wore it to a workshop and someone came up to me and said, I love your coat. You know what it says? You're not afraid to be yourself and just put it out there. And but I wasn't sure if she actually meant it as a compliment. I was like, thank you.
Oh, that's so fun, though. Does that have anything to do with like wishing that you had had that when you were little, do you think?
I think it probably does, because I remember when I saw it, I was like, oh, I feel like a little girl princess.
That's when cool.
I wear it. And I was like, I'm going to give this to myself. So
I like it.
Yep.
Fine. Well, Dr. Barbara, thank you for talking to us and just sharing your heart. And all your experiences. I appreciate that so much.
Yes. There's so much value in our experiences when we bring them forward to help others. I love that.
Yes. And I'm so glad you're doing that on a broad scale. I can't wait till your course comes out. It's so exciting.
Yes. Me too. It has been so wonderful to be here. I so enjoy everything that you put out. You make me laugh and giggle all the time.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So thank you for letting me come on and share some of the deeper things, but also some of the funny things that have happened.
Hey, I hope you really enjoyed that as much as I did. I loved her talk about striving to be average, just not even trying to be perfect because it's not going to happen anyway. I like that she touched on the loneliness of raising kids. Like in general, it's kind of lonely, but especially with special needs kids, I've heard that a lot. So what will your strategy be to struggle well this week based on what Dr. Barbara said? Maybe you identified with what she said about the stories that we make up about ourselves. Maybe you're making up some real junk stories about yourself. I see that a lot of time with my friends who, I don't know, they don't realize how great they are. And so sometimes you just have to step in and say, don't talk about my friend like that. Maybe you need to step in and tell yourself to quit talking about yourself like that. We sometimes have to stand up for ourselves even because we're so mean sometimes in our heads to ourselves. Maybe this week you struggle well by staying a soft place for your kids who are making poor choices right now. That really resonated with me because I don't want to be a soft place. I want them to know this is not a good idea, and that's why it's uncomfortable. But I think it's so good for us to let the natural consequences of their behaviors be the hard landing and us be the place they come to get empathy, not to fix it for them, but to remain loving and kind and soft. So that was something that I thought was really good to think about. So maybe you think through that if you're having a kid who's making not great choices right now. I also love the things she talked about about detaching with love, validating their feelings, but then also keeping the boundaries. I'm sure we've talked about this a lot on this podcast, but that book, Boundaries, by I think Cloud and Townsend, that was a good book. And they have it for kids, they have it for teens. Maybe you could do with reading that book and detaching with love. Because we do, at least I tend to think that detaching is not loving. But I liked her reminder that there is a way to do it that's loving. I also loved what she talked about her friends threw her a birthday party, and it was when she really needed it. I wonder if there's someone in your life who you could like throw a little party for. It doesn't have to be a big deal. But maybe they could have a surprise party that they don't see coming that could really be a blessing to them in a season that they're in. So think about who you could have a little party for this week. Do me a favor and share this episode with a friend who you think would benefit from hearing it. And make sure you're subscribed to the podcast because next week, my sister and I are going to be struggling together for you guys. And I think we're talking about the topic of community. Forgive me, I am just still a little bit behind on my entire life. But I think that might get better as I kind of settle into a work routine. You stay-at-home moms, you working moms can tell me if that ever gets better. Because I feel kind of like I'm in a cloud right now, like a fog. Not like a fun cloud, more like a major thick fog. Also, don't forget to join me on Instagram. I am there as much as I possibly can be these days, over at Struggle Well Project. Together, we will continue the practice of loving our actual lives and just working on reminding ourselves that we can stop striving because we already are enough. Let me pray for us. Lord, I pray that you would help us in the places where our hearts feel really, really lonely and misunderstood. Lord, motherhood is a giant blessing. But like Dr. Barbara talked about, there can just be some dark places where it doesn't feel great, this job sometimes. I pray that you would help us to stay a soft place for our loved ones to land when they are struggling. Pray that you would help us navigate how to do that in a way that is healthy and not enabling, but also gracious and kind. Lord, I used to resent the fact that all these choices with relationships were so nuanced and complicated, but God, it draws me back to you. It makes me depend on you moment by moment, and I'm realizing what a gift that is. So Lord, would you help us to quit trying to be independent of needing you? Would you help us to realize what an absolute gift it is to depend on you for everything? Amen.